Shall we pray for a moment before I begin? Creator God, who is light and life and love, inspire us afresh, give us new insight, open our minds to understand you more fully. Amen. So today, Trinity Sunday, and I think most of you by now would know that I love Trinity Sunday. I get great delight in talking about Trinity. I was renowned for it at college. Apparently I couldn't talk about it without using my hands like this. I will try and calm myself today. But it's one of my favorite days, and yet so many of us dread it. Probably for the reasons I love it. I love the challenge of it. I love the opportunity that it gives us to do some of that big thinking, that big theological thinking, exploring the big ideas. Because theology, I use that word, it's a big fancy word, but it's not just for those academics over in Cambridge, up in the city. It's not just for them. It's not just for those who write books. Every one of us is a theologian. We think about God. We all have an idea and understanding about God. Well, that's theology at its basics. It's what faith is, our understanding, our exploring our understanding of theology. So the work we're going to do today is simply the thinking about our faith and thinking about God in the way that it relates to our life. So we're going to do some theology this morning. For me, it's about putting into sort of a logical order, but that's because of my science background, but putting into a logical order, being able to articulate and say what our observations are about our faith and how God works in the world. And what I find really interesting is, in fact, what we have in a lot of the Bible, the majority, I would even say, of Scripture is doing that thinking. This is the experience we've experienced. How do we see God acting in it? That's what a lot of Scripture is about, as people explore what's happened in life and trying to understand where God is in it. So when it comes to understanding the Trinity, that concept of three in one, this is what the Bible was doing. The New Testament was doing this theology, this big thinking about this is what we've experienced. Now, how do we see God working in it? So the Trinity as a doctrine, another fancy word, sorry, just means a set of beliefs. The Trinity as a set of beliefs is not actually written down clearly in the Bible. It was something that was sort of begun as an exploratory, trying to understand who God is in the New Testament. But actually, it took theologians, academics, religious leaders, a few hundred years more to articulate the Trinity. It didn't come around 324, 5, something like that. Someone will correct me out there. When we had the Nicene Creed, that's when they laid down what we believe as Trinity, God as three in one. But what we have in the New Testament is the beginnings of this exploring of how God was possibly three in one. It's the early stages of that pondering, laying out in an orderly fashion how God is acting, and therefore what we understand about God. Because what the early church had, and those writers of the New Testament had, was they had their scriptures, so what we would call the Old Testament. They had the prophets, they had Moses' teaching. Then they had Jesus' life that they had experienced and seen. They had the evidence of Jesus' life. And then they had experienced Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came on all of them. And for lots of them, by the time they've got things written down in the Bible, they've gone out into the world, they've told people about Jesus, and they've seen the Spirit come on them too. So they've had all these experiences. They've had this evidence of three and a deep belief in one God. So we have them wrestling with this in all of our New Testament scriptures. And what I love is the passage we have today in John. John's gospel is particularly good at this theology, this wrestling and trying to understand. It was written later than the other gospels, and much later than Paul's letters, so all the other letters, lots of the other letters of the New Testament. because John had, the writer of John had had time to ponder all this stuff, do the big thinking, and was then laying it out in an orderly way in his understanding of Jesus' life. So let's look at this encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus, because I think it really helps us to do some of that thinking of how God is three in one. This is what the author of John is trying to do and tease out for us. So we have Nicodemus, who is determined to see things, determined to see things physically, practically. He comes to Jesus because he's seen all that Jesus is doing. And he says, I've seen all you're doing, and therefore it's clear you've come from God. But remember, Jesus elsewhere challenges those who need to see signs and wonders, who only come to him and follow him because they've seen it. So Jesus challenges those who need to see signs and wonders. He actually advocates much more and celebrates those who can believe based on what they've heard and what they've been told. So Jesus doesn't reply to Nicodemus exactly. We've got this wonderful kind of miscommunication going on. Nicodemus is always talking practically, physically, and Jesus always seems to be not quite answering him directly. Because what Jesus is saying is that actually, Nicodemus, the only way you're going to be able to see is not through the physical things I'm doing, but you need to be see things in a new way. You need to have a new way of living. The translation that is in your Bibles that we just heard, actually, it says you need to be born again. Well, you can also translate that as born from above. It's exactly the same in Greek. It's the same word. So this born again is about being born from above, being born in a new way. Jesus saying the only way you're actually going to see is if you receive this new life, being born in a new way. Then you'll really see what I'm going on about with God's kingdom. But once more, it's quite funny, really, we have this misunderstanding. Nicodemus again tries to wrestle with the physical, and he gets caught up and hung up on that word birth. New birth? Well, how on earth can someone be born again? And Jesus is then saying, well, actually, it's not the physical, is it, Nicodemus? It's about new life. And it's new life that comes from the source of life. Let's think about what birth is. It is literally bringing life into the world. This is what Jesus is saying. Nicodemus, you need to have the source of life bring you new life, bring you freshly into the world again, to see it in a new way. It's a rebirth that enables a redeeming, a restoring. That's what this new birth is about. And it comes from the source of life. You can't make it happen. You can't force it by your own will. It is a gift from God. Jesus uses the language, it's like the wind, it blows where it will. The Spirit gives birth. The Spirit is the one that gives that new life. It's a gift that comes through Jesus' actions on the cross. And here Jesus talks about his own actions. Later on he talks about being lifted up. So he talks about that serpent being lifted up, giving new life. Because what Jesus does on the cross is gives us access to that redemption, that redeeming. Again, that rebirthing, restoring of humankind. So that all who look to the cross and see Jesus and believe what Jesus is doing there, what Jesus accomplished in bringing about this redemption, allowing us access to this new life, we would then be able to receive this gift, this new life. And what Jesus goes on to say, it is a life force that enables us to live fully, that enables us to have eternal life. Now, this isn't eternal life as in life after death. This is life in all its fullness now. Now as we live here on earth. the gift of this life-giving force that comes from the source from above, that is given by the Spirit, means that we are able to participate in God's kingdom now, to live that new life now, here on earth. It's a way of living. This full life way of living enables us to love freely, not constrained by our insecurities or jealousy. It's a way of living that enables us to give generously, not held back by fear. It's a way of living that enables us to work for the flourishing of others, not restricted by that need for our own power or to prove our own self-worth. This is the full life that we are offered by God, the source of life. That source of life who came to earth to provide a way to access that life, and who then is also the one that breathes that life into us, this eternal life, this life of God given to us as a gift. Those are the three ways that the writer of John lays out how God comes to us and gives us new life in this story, this encounter with Jesus and Nicodemus. This good news that we go on about, that we talk about, this good news is about the action that God is doing in the world, the gift that we have been given, this threefold way that God is acting, the source is acting in providing a way and breathing life into us. Now I wonder if we can now do some of that working out and identifying the pattern that we see with Jesus and Nicodemus in our own lives. This is the point where theology becomes real and practical. Jesus talks about the source, the one who can enable us to have rebirth and have this new life. I wonder if you have a concept of a source of power, of love, or force that exists outside space and time, that is beyond our comprehension. But we also talk, Jesus talks about that force acting in space and time, acting in us now, the wind that blows where it will. I wonder if you have an experience, an understanding, a concept of an inexplicable force that acts in your life, perhaps bringing you peace or joy or understanding when there was none before. And of course, we have the physical acting of Jesus, the person in the world, the human being, also God, in the world. We have all of Jesus' actions in the Bible as we read it. We can learn about Jesus. We can learn about this person who made God visible to us, who enabled us to re-access God's love. Do you know this person? Do you know what he said, what he did? Do you have faith that his actions had power beyond what physically happened 2,000 years ago? If we break it down, like those early disciples, we probably instinctively know God as three in one, just from the ways we experience God in our lives, and we have experienced God. I mean, hurrah for theologians who wrestle with words and can find a way to explain the inexplicable. But frankly, for you and I in our day-to-day lives, being able to understand our own experiences in relation to God and how God acts in the world is probably more important, or at least more helpful. Certainly in a way that enables us to talk about our faith, explain it to others, to pass on this gift, even if it's in a stumbling or flawed way. As I was thinking about this, I found it really interesting that it's very key for me, my faith actually has a threefold way of developing and growing. It requires my head to do some of that understanding, my brain to work and do some learning. It requires my heart to experience God, to do that feeling bit. And it requires my body to act, to do the doing in response. And I found that really interesting as a way that God is actually living in me, in those three ways in which I then grow in my faith. It feels like a Trinitarian way of believing, which I think is as much, if not more important, than actually knowing the theology that is written down in textbooks. In our discerning together journey that we were doing through last year in the beginning of this year, we came to a point as a group of identifying what God was doing among us at St. Philip's. And we had this statement that we shared. We believe that God is setting us free to become a more Trinity-shaped community, both receiving and serving and holding all in brokenness and joy. That's what we think God is doing here amongst us, helping us become a more Trinity-shaped community. Now, we can continue to debate exactly what that means, and trust me, we did on the day. But at its heart, it means that as a church, as a community, we are becoming shaped by God. God who acts in that threefold way. God who is creator, redeemer, and sustainer. God who helps us understand, helps us feel, helps us do. God who is Father, Son, and Spirit. God who is the source, who is the word, who is the power. You can use all sorts of ways to understand the three strands, the three persons, the three aspects, however you want to describe the threeness of this one God. All working together in unity for that one purpose of bringing God life into the world. It is the most beautiful, inexplicable, awe-inspiring, inspiring, and deeply personal concept that we can even begin to get our heads around in faith. And I would say the first step is to take time to sit and breathe it in. So we're going to do that just for a moment. I've said a lot of words. There needs to be time to let them settle, to sink. Which ones stick with you? So let's take a moment to be quiet and to just breathe in God's presence. Creator God, three in one, distinct yet unified. Help us understand you in our heads, in our hearts, and in our lives. I pray that you would lead us to live this new life, this God life. Help us to receive this gift, so that we can live our lives in all fullness on earth and bring your life to others. Amen.